This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum. I always smile when I hear that bio. It's like 7 years old, but that's okay. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wassalatu wassalam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa ahlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. It's a pleasure to be here with you. This is my first time at Masjid Maryam. And you guys are so important to me that I literally came straight from the airport. So I just got out of the Uber. Some of you who saw me at the door saw my luggage with me. So alhamdulillah, this is a very important cause. And that is the reason why I'm here. I want to tell you that I really believe in this cause. And I'm going to tell you why I believe in this cause, and I'm going to explain it to you in a different way than you usually hear when people try to appeal for funds. Typically, when people try to appeal for funds, they tell you how you're going to help others, right? Yes? And while that is all very true, you are going to help others, I'm going to appeal to you in a different way. I'm going to appeal to you using what we know of human nature. And what we know of human nature is there's basically something we all have in common. And that is we all want happiness. Every single human being, regardless of faith, regardless of gender, regardless of where they were born or raised, we all agree on one thing, and that is that we want happiness. This is an innate human motivation, is to be happy. And we are motivated towards that which will bring happiness. So recently, there's been a lot of research about happiness, right? So I studied psychology. And so my background is in psychology as well as writing. But I'm very fascinated in studying human motivation and human behavior, and specifically how that interacts with Islamic psychology. And one thing that I found to be very interesting is this study of happiness. So recently, there's been a lot of push in that direction with regards to psychological research. In the past, some of you who've studied psychology may know this. In the past, there's been an emphasis on something called abnormal psychology, which means people looking at what can go wrong and how to fix it. Yeah? And recently, the new wave of psychology has shifted. It's no longer focusing on what can go wrong and how to fix it, but now it's more about how can we improve the quality of our life? How can we improve things like well-being and happiness? And what does happiness mean? And how can we live lives that are meaningful? How can we find meaning? Flourishing, this is a new concept that they talk about. And so now they're looking at these types of universal themes, okay? Now, what I found very interesting in my own research is that there is a big part of happiness that is indeed sort of inherited, okay? This is what they're finding. So, meaning you have your parents to blame, okay? That there is about 40 to 50%, which has to do, which is a sort of genetic or inherited, okay? But that's the bad news, sort of. Bad or good, depending on your parents, but the good news is that leaves about 50% that we sort of, well, not so much, 10% or so they find has to do with, basic human needs, your safety and, you know, everything like that, right? But then that leaves us with what? About 40%. What can we do with that 40%? Well, that leaves you about 40% that's totally in your control. And that's powerful. So what they've done is they've studied how to use that 40% to just be happier people, to be people who are more at peace, people who live with meaning, okay? Is there anyone who doesn't want that? Raise your hand if you don't want that. Exactly, right? Everybody wants that. So how? Now, this is what's so interesting. They have found, and this now I'm talking, I haven't even talked about Islam yet, right? I'm just talking secular research right now. And what they've found is that one of the most reliable ways to improve your own happiness is to serve others. Isn't that powerful? That in fact, when I am serving others, when I am helping someone in need, when I am aiding someone in trouble, I am in fact helping myself. And that is powerful. And in fact, it is one of the most powerful ways and one of the most reliable ways to improve my own happiness, to increase my own happiness. Even what's even more powerful is that it's actually one of the only ways. That's powerful too. In the sense, let me explain what I mean by that. So for example, they took a study and they put people into separate groups and they asked them to do different things, okay? And what they did, one group they had, and they told these people for a week, I think it was, treat yourself, right? We live in a culture that's kind of about treat yourself, right? You know, sort of take care of, not so much, it's important to take care of yourself, right? But it's like indulge, yeah? We live in a culture that's very much about indulge yourself, all right? And when you indulge yourself, you'll be happy, right? Well, they told a group of people, indulge, treat yourself, all right, for a week. And then they told another group of people, help another person in need. And they gave one group to help another person, like an individual, like something that will help an individual person. And then the third group was to do some sort of service that would help the community, okay? And then there was a fourth group, which was is a control group. And they're just supposed to take notes of what they did that week, all right? Do you know what they found? And this was so powerful. They found that only the group of the service group, so that was the people who did things for others, either individually or collectively, had an increase in their own happiness. Only that group. And this increase was so powerful that it lasted, I think, months later. Think about that. Just 1 week of helping another person. Now, that's something we should reflect on. Now, I'm gonna step back for a second and ask you to think deeper. Who designed the human being? Allah. Okay, you guys all got 100 on that pop quiz, yeah? Allah designed the human being. So Allah put this in the human being that in fact, the most powerful and reliable way for me to feel good is to help another person. Why do you think Allah would do that? Why would Allah put that in the design of the human being? This is a little bit deep. Because why?
Because he wants you to be happy.
Think deeper. He wants you to be happy, of course. That's our motivation. He wants you to help others. Yes. It's an intrinsic motivation. It's an intrinsic. Intrinsic meaning it's internal. It's nothing external. It's actually an inner driver put in us by who? By the designer. So it's actually divine design. That's powerful. And what it teaches us is that that's the way Allah wants us to be. See, if you study the human body, for example, you're going to find that Allah makes things, for example, we find pleasure or satisfaction in doing things that the body needs to do. I'll give you examples. When it's very hot outside, the body could overheat, yeah? It feels good to go into the air condition. It actually feels good, right? When it's very cold outside, I don't know if you guys have a lot of that. I grew up in Wisconsin. But when it's very cold outside, it feels good to sit in front of a fireplace, right? There's pleasure in doing what we need to do. Does that make sense? So from a psychological perspective, it's the same thing. The fact that we feel good doing these things is part of the design of God because we're supposed to be doing these things. It shows how that actually the design of humanity is that we're supposed to be helping each other. We are not supposed to be living these just individualistic lives, everyone in their own cave, not caring about others. Because if we live that way, we actually become miserable. That's the fact. That if we live in such a way where we are not connected to others, where we are not serving others, where we are only interested in serving ourselves, it actually makes us miserable. This is the design of God. So that group who was indulging themselves, the ones who were treating themselves, there was no increase in their own happiness. That's powerful. And in fact, they find in other studies that one of the most effective ways to improve even symptoms of depression is to help another person in need. That service is so powerful. And that a person who lives a life of service is actually first and foremost helping themselves. And so what I want to do up here is make an appeal to you in a different way. And that is to tell you that when you help others, when you serve others, you are essentially helping and serving yourself before the other person. And no one ever tells you that, right? Usually the appeal is you're going to do a favor to someone else. So we all feel that we're doing someone else a favor. But I'm actually going to sit up here and tell you doing yourself a favor. And I'll tell you all the reasons why. Okay? The first reason is just this simple secular reason, which is that you feel good. I'm going to tell you guys a secret, and you don't have to admit it, but every single person who raised their hand, they felt good when they did it. And that's just Allah's design. In fact, they told you that money doesn't buy happiness, right? Okay, they lied. In fact, studies show that money buys happiness when it's spent on others. That's also powerful. That the money that I spend on other people actually makes me happier. And they find that the money I spend on myself doesn't. This is, like I said, this isn't an Islamic thing. This is a secular study. So the reality is this, that you, when you raised your hand to give, you felt happy. You felt happiness. And that's how Allah designed it, because He wants us to give. All right. So the first thing is this feeling of well-being, this happiness. The easiest way for me to pull myself up when I'm down is to pull another person up who's down. And that has been shown again and again and again in research. All right. Now I'm going to tell you something else about service and about giving. But before I go there, I want to talk about another concept which this specific organization serves. Now, there are many charities out there, right? So there are many different places we can serve. Yeah, I'm not going to deny that. That's an absolute fact. There are many different places we can give our charity and we can feel happy and we can have meaning. But why is this type of work so important? And that's the other point that I want to make now. And I'm going to tell you why. I don't even have enough time to tell you how many references Allah and His Messenger have about justice. I don't actually have enough time, but I'm just going to try just to read a couple of them. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "We sent our messengers with clear signs and sent down with them the book and the measure." Why? Listen to this. "In order to establish justice among the people." That this is so important of a concept in our deen, that Allah is saying that that's the reason He sent down the messengers with the signs, to establish justice. This is how important justice is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah in another, and that was chapter 57, verse 25. In another chapter, Allah says what's translated as, "Allah commands justice and fair dealings." And that's chapter 16, verse 90. What does that mean? Allah is commanding it, meaning it's fard. It's obligatory. He is commanding that we deal with justice, that this is an obligation upon every single one of us. In another ayah, He says, "O you who believe, be upright for Allah and be bearers of witness with justice." And that's chapter 5, verse 8. But one of the most powerful ayahs that always strikes me, and you guys have probably heard this, I want you to reflect on it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in chapter 60, He says, He tells us that we should stand up, "O you who believe." Actually, this is chapter 4. Listen to this. "O you who believe, stand out firmly for justice as witnesses to Allah, even if it is against yourselves, your parents, and your relatives, or whether it is against the rich or the poor." Do you understand how important justice is as a principle in our deen? That Allah is saying, even if it's against your own parents, even if it's against your own self, even if it's against family, you must be just. Okay? Now, do you understand that's what's that talking about? That's talking about these issues that we have within families when sometimes there is an injustice and we stay quiet, that is a contradiction to this command by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That if you see injustice, even if it's your own mother doing it, against, for example, your own wife, yeah, that you have to, Allah is saying here, that you have to stand up and be just. It doesn't mean be unkind. The ayah doesn't say unkind. The ayah doesn't say harsh, right? The ayah says be just and specifies that even if it is against your own mother, your own parents, your own self, if you have done wrong, that you stand up and be just and you be fair and say, I did wrong and I will correct it. This is what Islam teaches us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has repeated and His Messenger have repeated this concept of justice over and over and over. And one of the ahadith, it's a hadith Qudsi, where Allah says, O my slaves, I have forbidden justice. I have forbidden injustice, dhulm, for myself, and I forbid it also for you. Allah is saying, I have forbidden it for myself, and I have also forbidden it for you. So avoid being unjust to one another. Another hadith tells us that there's 7 types of people who are going to have the shade of Allah on a day when there's no shade. We're going to need that shade. And he says that one of those 7 categories is a just leader. A just leader. Why a just leader? Because when you have power, you can kind of do whatever you want, right? And so it's when you have power and you continue to be just that it's such a high reward that you are among the 7 who have that shade on the Day of Judgment. Now, what is this talking about? Is it only talking about the leader like Trump? Is it only talking about the president? Well, no, because guess what? There are leaders of the family. Yeah, sounding familiar? That there are people, there are leaders within a community. There are leaders within a masjid. You might be a leader within your school. You might be a leader within your company. Even a leader within your home. But when you are just, that this becomes such a high reward. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you will be among the 7 who, when there's no other shade. You know, the thing is about justice. I want to tell you something very interesting about this concept of justice, yeah? And the opposite of it, which is called dhulm. It's very interesting to note that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks, for example, about shirk, what's shirk? To associate partners with Allah, yeah. We all know this is the worst sin, right? Yes? When Allah talks about shirk in the Quran, in Surah Luqman, He says, "Inna shirka la dhulmun azim." He says that shirk, associating a partner, how does he describe shirk? He says that shirk is a great injustice. Do you see how he's describing shirk? That it's actually an injustice. It's dhulm. Remember that word, dhulm. This is how much Allah hates dhulm. This is how much. He's saying that shirk, the way he describes associating partners with Allah, is that it is a great dhulm, an injustice. An injustice against whom? An injustice, well, let's talk about shirk, for example. When I associate a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah protect us all, who am I being unjust to? Well, first and foremost, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it's only Allah who has the right to be worshipped alone. And when I worship other than Him, I have done injustice. Because only Allah has that right. Make sense? When I thank someone else for the gifts that Allah gave me, that's injustice. Suppose I give you a very generous gift. I give you a new Ferrari as a gift. And you go and you thank someone else. You're doing injustice because the other person didn't give you it, right? And so shirk is a dhulm against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it's also a dhulm against someone else. Does anyone know? Your own self. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about sin. Do you know how Allah describes sin in the Quran? A dhulm against oneself. That's deep. that when I commit a sin, I am actually doing injustice to myself. Myself. Even if I never hurt another person. Even if my sin is between me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it does not involve the rights of another person. And yet Allah says that it is a dhulm against my own self. These are all the worst thing that Allah, the worst things Allah describes them as dhulm. This is how important justice is as a principle. Now that brings me to this cause. This cause is about trying to establish justice and trying to fight against dhulm, injustice. And for us to support that cause is extremely, extremely noble. And honestly, when he was talking about fard, you know, obligation, it is part of our obligation to be a part of that establishment of justice. And of course, we're living in a time right now where there is a lot of injustice against Muslims. We have to be active in supporting these causes that fight against injustice. Now I'm going to tell you guys something else. I told you I'm going to give you many evidences to prove to you that when you help another person, you're actually helping yourself, right? I didn't forget. Okay, so I'm going to come back to that. You know, there's one like common theme that you find across the text, hadith and Quran, across the text, many ayat, many ahadith, and that theme is this, that however I am with the creation is how Allah will be with me. You see that theme? That's a very powerful lesson. And it's a powerful theme. However I am with the creation is how Allah will be with me. Do you want me to prove it to you? Hadith. The Prophet ﷺ says that show mercy to those on the earth. And what will happen? Allah will show mercy to you. Do you see the parallel? And another hadith, he or she who does not show mercy will not be shown mercy by Allah. Again, the parallel, right? You know, there's a hadith that says that any time you help another person in need, Allah will help you in need. When you are a person who helps others in need, Allah will help you when you're in need. And it even says that Allah will continue. It's like a very interesting phrase. Basically, it's saying Allah will continue to be at the back. So you might be like, what does that mean? You know this phrase like, oh no, she's got my back? Yeah? Allah is like saying this. Allah is saying He will continue to have your back. He will continue to have your back as long as you continue to have the backs of the other people, of the believers. So you, Allah is promising to continue to have our backs, to continue to support us so long as we continue to help others and be in the service of others. But if there's any reason, right, if everything I said isn't enough, if there's any reason to be in the service of others, it would be this one. And that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that when we help someone in need in this life, when we're standing on the Day of Judgment in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know the day when we're going to be desperate, right? The day Allah tells us that people will be so desperate that they're willing to ransom their own children to protect themselves. I'm sorry, children, to tell you this, but this is, and may Allah protect us from that. That is the wrongdoers. But this is the intensity of how frightened we would be on that day. How frightening that day is. That a woman who is nursing her baby will throw her baby. That people will say, no, 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 leave me, take my child instead. Can you imagine that? This mother, this father who protected you in this life, but because of the terror of that life, of that day, that they're willing to ransom you. And your people saying, take my spouse, right? Take my spouse, take my child. And this is the terror. So when we stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day, we're going to be desperate. desperate for his mercy. You understand? Allah says that when I help a person in need in this life, when I stand on the day of judgment, Allah will help me. That I helped that person in that time of need, so when I come in my time of need, and this is the peak of our time of need, is on the day of judgment, Allah will help us when we stand there. And I think if there's no other reason, it would be that. And so at the end of the day, when I am helping, you know, this cause, what is this cause helping? It's helping people who are in a state of injustice, who can't protect themselves, who can't defend themselves, and you're coming in and defending for them. You're coming in and helping them. And when you do things like that, then Allah's got your back. And that's the reality, is that when I'm going out and helping another person, when they're vulnerable, guess what? It's going to come back to me. And do you guys understand the different way I'm talking about this now? It's going to actually come back to me. So at the end of the day, we all are ultimately self-interested. You understand? We are, yes, we care about others, but we care about ourselves. All right? That's part of being human. Even when Allah tells us to obey Him and to stay away from sin, He gives us motivation. He says, you'll go to Jannah, right? You'll get good deeds. You're protecting yourself from health. This is human nature. We are self-interested. We want what will make us happy, and we want to stay away from what will make us suffer. And that's why I'm telling you this, subhanAllah, when you give, you're ultimately giving to yourself first and foremost. You know, there was a time when the Prophet ﷺ came back and he found that Aisha radiallahu anha she told him that she had given some of this animal for charity. She said to him, I've given this part of the animal for charity, but I've kept your favorite part. Right? She's a loving, sweet wife. Okay? And subhanAllah, teaching moment here. You know what he says to her? He says, actually, you have given that portion. Yeah? You have kept that portion and you have given my favorite part. I don't know if you understand. I'm going to explain. She had held on to his favorite part of the animal. And she had given the rest for charity. But what he explained is that the part you gave for charity is the part we kept. That's so powerful. What it tells us is this. Any cent that we give for the sake of Allah, and not just in money, by the way, in our efforts, in our time, in our concern, anything we give of ourselves for the sake of Allah, we're never losing that. It's not lost. It is kept for us. And I'm going to tell you something a step further, which is very powerful. So I told you anything you give for the sake of Allah is not lost, right? I'm going to take it a step further and tell you something else. Only what you give for the sake of Allah is not lost. And everything else is lost. That's also very powerful. Because the reality of life is that كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ. Everything is passing away. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. Only the countenance of Allah remains. That means that all these things we're holding on to is actually passing away. Our money that we're afraid to give, it's passing away. Our time, our ability, ourselves, everything we have is actually fading. Everything. And the only thing that will remain ours is those things we gave for Allah. That is not lost. We will see it again. We will see it again, but only that. We will see the time, we will see the money, we will see the efforts, we will see the deeds, but only those we did for the sake of Allah. Everything else is lost. You know how they tell you can't take your money to your grave? Right? Yes or no? That's also not true. So you're thinking I'm like crazy. I lost my mind on the airplane. The Prophet ﷺ said that all the deeds end when you enter your grave, except for three. except for three. And you know what one of them is? Sadaqa jariya. So what is that? That means it's any kind of charity that continues to benefit others. It continues to benefit others even after you pass away, that will continue to benefit you in your grave. In other words, all of your money will stay behind. Right? All of your money will stay behind. And the only money that will go with you to your grave is the one you gave for the sake of Allah. Do you see how we have things upside down? We're thinking, no, I'm going to hold on to it, and that means I'm going to keep it. No, actually holding it means you're going to lose it. And giving it means you're going to keep it. Because sadaqa jariya is any kind of charity which continues to benefit people. Establishing and supporting organizations like this, that even after I pass, it's going to continue to help people, inshallah. And any money I gave will help to continue to benefit others. Any knowledge that you give that continues to benefit others also comes back to you in your grave. So subhanAllah, at the end of the day, here is the reality. Every single one of us is desperate for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Desperate. I'm going to tell you guys a story before I wrap up. You guys probably know this story, but maybe you didn't look at it from this angle. And that's the story of Aisha radiallahu anha. You all know that there was a time when she was accused of being unchaste. And at this time, her father, Abu Bakr radiallahu anha, found out that one of the people spreading the slander was a relative of his. And he's not just a relative, but he's a relative that he's financially supporting. Can you imagine that? Well, how would we react, right? This is slandering your own daughter. And someone you're helping out, and a relative, you know? And look at what Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu does. He doesn't go out looking for revenge. He doesn't like hire a hitman or anything like that. He simply stops the financial support. That's all he does. That's it. And Allah reveals an ayah about this. وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Let them pardon and overlook. Now, this is deep. Because now Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is being told to pardon and overlook. But why? You know, sometimes what keeps us from forgiving others or being merciful to others is we say, they don't deserve my forgiveness. Ever feel that way? Why should I forgive so-and-so? They don't deserve my forgiveness. Why should I forgive them? They didn't apologize. They didn't make up for it. They don't deserve it. But subhanAllah, Allah teaches us a powerful lesson in this ayah. He teaches us that it's actually take the person out of the equation. He says, أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Do you not love for what? For Allah to forgive you. So whoa, it's not even about the relative. Do you guys get it? It's about you and Allah. Allah is saying, essentially Allah is making a deal with us. A deal. I mean, forget Black Friday deals, right? This is like a deal, capital D-E-A-L. That Allah is saying, you forgive this person and I'll forgive you. That's a steal, man. Do you understand how deep that is? Because the forgiveness of Allah is priceless. The forgiveness of Allah cannot be quantified. Everything in the heavens and the earth. We would give everything in the heavens and the earth to just be forgiven on the Day of Judgment. You know what I'm saying? And Allah's saying, I'll give you this priceless thing, which is my forgiveness, my mercy, and all you have to do is forgive this other person. Right? Forgive this other person. Be merciful to this other person, and I will forgive you, and I will give you mercy. So it's kind of like, you know, you go and you see one of these giant mansions. I think y'all have giant mansions here in this area somewhere, yeah? I think so, yeah? So you see this giant mansion, and it's like, I don't know, worth $10 million, okay? And then you realize the builder or the owner says, but it's on sale today. It's on sale for a cent. 1 cent, right? So it's worth $10 million, and you're going to get it for a cent. Would you feel like you got a deal? Not so much? You guys, people stand outside in the freezing cold to save $50 at Best Buy at Black Friday. Yeah? honestly, people do crazy things for a deal. And you all know it. Don't pretend you don't know it. Everyone's just like, I don't know what they're talking. I don't know what she's talking about. People do crazy things. Actually, every year almost someone gets killed at like Walmart because they're so crazy about getting a deal. You guys, this is true. I'm not making this up. There's like a lady, she was like spraying mace so she could get the thing first. Another time, this is really tragic. Like, there was a stampede, like, and the dude couldn't open the door fast enough who was working at Walmart. He got killed. This is how serious people are psychotic about a deal. Human beings are like that. And you know what? Allah's making a deal with you. But see, it's not $1 million for a cent. It's infinity for forgiveness of another person. So what's happening here? Allah is telling us, do these things for others, and I will do this for you. But when Allah gives, He doesn't give like humans give. Because Allah is infinite. And Allah's kingdom is infinite. You know, if every single person on earth, the hadith says, not on earth, sorry, from the beginning of time till the end of time, if every single person came together and made a dua to Allah, and Allah gave every single person what they asked for, it would not decrease Allah's kingdom any more than if you put a needle in an ocean, it would decrease the water. That's a hadith. So this is Allah's kingdom. Allah is generous, al-kareem. You know, He'll give infinitely, but we just have to do something small. So this analogy I gave you about the house, it's not sufficient. Because the reality is, it's not a cent to $10 million. It's something finite for something infinite. Make sense? When I give to others, I am essentially giving to myself. There's this hadith, so powerful. Now I'm going to end with this, inshallah. I want you guys for a moment just to call to mind a person who is very religious. What do they look like in your head? What do they act like? What is the image of a person who is beloved to Allah? I want you just to take a couple seconds and think about that. You guys did it? Yes? Yes, no? Yes? Okay. So probably you brought to mind a person who spends much of their time in the masjid. Yeah? Someone who has a certain look, right? Certain demeanor, prays a lot, fasts a lot, right? Naturally. You want to hear something really amazing? There's a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ where he says, Sahih hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says, the most beloved people to Allah are those who help and benefit others the most. And the most beloved actions to Allah is pleasure and happiness that you cause to enter the heart of a Muslim. That's intense. Or, he says, or to solve one of his or her problems. So now, we're talking now about the most beloved actions to Allah. And he's saying that ones who help others the most, someone who puts happiness in the hearts of others and who helps solve their problems. Or to pay off his or her debt. Or to prevent him or her from being hungry. Now, this is the part I really want to leave you with. The Prophet ﷺ says that working to help my Muslim brother or sister is more beloved to me than doing i'tikaf. What's i'tikaf? Seclusion in the masjid. You know seclusion in the masjid? Like where you stay days, maybe the whole 10 days, maybe the whole month. He said that helping another Muslim brother or sister in need is more beloved to me than doing i'tikaf in this masjid for a month. And you guys, let me just put this into context. Which masjid is he standing in? Is he standing in this masjid, Masjid Maryam? No. He's standing in Masjid al-Nabawi in Medina. You know the masjid that we spend our entire lives saving up for just to go visit once? That masjid. the masjid where one prayer is equal to 1,000 or better in any other masjid, that masjid. He said that helping another person is more beloved to me than i'tikaf in that masjid for a month. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم إنه غفور رحيم سبحانك الله وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.